Kate Bornstein is an author, playwright, performance artist and activist. Her books are taught in over 120 colleges and universities around the world, and she's performed her work live on college campuses, in cinemas and theatres across the USA, Canada and parts of Britain, Germany and Austria. She's currently touring colleges, youth conferences and high schools, leading workshops on sex, gender and alternatives to teen suicide. I sat down with Kate during a break in proceedings at the 2007 Trans with Pride conference, where I began by asking her how she'd started out. Kate, you seem to have been on the map for a very long time. I remember first coming across you as one of the first really radically different thinkers that I found on the internet more than 10, 12 years ago. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you start out?
I started out in theater. Theater was my first love, and it was one of the things that kept me from going through my gender transition because I thought I'd have to give it up. Who would want to cast me in any part? And even today, they're still not casting trans women in the part of trans women or trans men in the part of trans men. But this need for a feeling of wholeness overcame that love for theater, and I went ahead with my gender change. I got involved in public relations, I did sex work, I even joined corporate America, but eventually returned back to theater, and I found that principles of theater, principles of acting, which is essentially lying, which is essentially charades, which is essentially pretending, quite match the principles of gender itself. And I started, the postmodern word is deconstruct, I was deconstructing gender through the lens of theater, and that came up with the notion that man and woman are both simply parts we play, have nothing to do with the bodies we're born with.
So you describe your activism comes through performance.
My activism comes through art. I write a lot. I do quite a bit of performance, but I don't call myself an activist, no.
But you're famous, really, I think, for the way in which you challenge your audiences as well in terms of their thinking.
Yeah, I like that.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yes. I learned that in the 60s from the Living Theatre, Julian Beck and Judith Malina. And they taught me how to break a fourth wall and involve an audience. I think they were a bit more confrontative than I like to be in my theatre. I like to seduce rather than confront.
How do you think things have changed over the last 10 years? And I'm going to ask you that in two halves. One is how trans people have changed, and the other is how the world's attitude towards trans people has changed.
I'll answer it in several parts myself. Trans people have gone from... When you used to say the word transsexual, the word transgender wasn't a word. When you said the word transsexual, you had the picture of an aging man in a dress, and that was it. Now, when you say transgender, it's more likely to be youth or young adult, female to male. And what's happened in terms of trans community is we all used to come together. I mean, there weren't that many of us who would talk. And now we've become genderqueer, we've become drag kings, drag queens, intersex, female to male, male to female, and especially in the States, a conference like this wouldn't happen. It would be subdivided.
There are some people within the community who are very challenged and perhaps a little afraid about all that diversity. They feel that that's actually problematic from their perspective. They just like to have that simple traditional idea of what a transsexual person is, and that transsexual person is a woman and strives hard to pass.
Yeah, and we have to make room. That's our family too. And just like there are plenty of my birth family members who will have nothing to do with me. There are plenty of my trans family members who are pretty pissed off at me, you know, for espousing a viewpoint that that's not the only way to be trans.
And what about the rest of the world? How has that changed?
Well, I think we've gone from being serial killers to being heartbreaking victims.
Yes, that victim thing is a little bit worrying, I find. What about you?
Yes, absolutely, because I don't know about you, but media shapes me. Popular culture has always shaped me. And when all I see in the popular culture is, oh, look at the poor tranny. Oh, my goodness. That's what you think's going to happen to you. There aren't. I haven't seen any mainstream images of powerful, self-confident, even just normal, happy-go-lucky trannies. Nothing.
Yeah, that's still a problem. I say in presentation that to people who aren't trans, you know, no matter how long you live, you're only ever going to experience one half of what it is to be human. And you see on their faces a sudden realization that instead of projecting ourselves as victims, we're actually looking, turning it on its head and saying, you know, we're better off than you.
That gets dangerous because nobody likes to be told that someone else is better than you. But it, if done in the tone I just heard, that playful, and if people could just see the twinkle in your eye and the smile in your face, I don't think anyone would be offended by that, and they would be titillated, and they might even be challenged to explore it themselves. Yes.
How do you think we differ between the approaches in the UK and the US? I mean, how does the US see Europe and the UK, for instance?
The US doesn't see Europe and the UK at all. The US doesn't see anybody but the US. And that's becoming increasingly smaller itself. The US doesn't see anybody but mainstream US. And the US doesn't see anybody but stars in the mainstream in the US. And
do you think that's the problem? Because we're very, very proud of some of the things we've achieved in Europe and Britain especially in terms of legislation, in terms of social advance. And it seems a shame if that's not really being capitalized upon to the degree it could be to bring forward people in the United States as well.
Well, it's not. You know, no, there's National Coalition for Transgender Equity, NCTE, I believe is the thing, is national. And it talks about national gains. I have yet to see an international coalition formed. And it won't form in the United States. And if you form it here, you'll have a great deal of trouble finding people from the United States. I jumped at the opportunity to come here because every time I leave the United States, it's such a breath of fresh air to see how less puritanical the world is than the one I live in the United States.
And what about the other way around? Are there good things that you think that we could pick up from the way people think or do things in the U.S.? Should we take that as a no?
No, I'm trying to think. Sheer quantity helps the movements in the U.S. There are huge, like I say, this conference wouldn't happen because there's a relatively small number of trans people, period. And they can come together in a conference here. The only place that happens in the United States is in the Midwest, where so few queer people come out that they all kind of band together, LGBTQ and Q, which is queer and questioning, come together because there's not enough of them to form splinter groups. However, in the cities, in the national organizations, it all comes down to how much money do you have, what are your numbers, what are your demographics, do you have an impact on the government? People want to know hard bottom line facts, and I think that's a terrible thing to export to the rest of the world.
So that's a fairly depressing view. Do you have an optimistic view in terms of an outcome for, where are trans people going?
The old trans people are going to die, and that's kind of good. The trans youth I see are growing up with not only the internet, but also knowledge of postmodern theory and queer theory, the basis of both of which is things are fluid. Nothing is nailed down in reality. And just that notion, trans or not, people are growing up with that. And when this generation of people who are, let's say, 14 to 30 years old, come into power in their 40s, that's going to be a fascinating world. I think that's when it's going to happen. It's going to start happening in about a decade, and it will continue for another three decades.
I think it's happening now over here. It's exciting to see the young trans people and their completely different approach to life, and so just simply going round things that used to really trouble the previous generations of trans people. It just simply doesn't trouble today's trans youth.
I totally agree with you, and that's my hope for optimism. However, they have little or no power in the politics of trans politics in the United States. I don't know if it's here. The focus of LGBTQ politics is, in fact, gay marriage, which totally leaves out trannies, because that would say a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, and a man can marry a woman. I'm none of those, and so I can never get married. Not that I want to be. I think it's a sucky institution. But I think we've become blinded by our, in the States, by our own blind love of democracy, which doesn't exist anymore in our country anyway.
I was hoping we were going to end up on a bright note.
Bright note. I think that there are some forward, I've seen and met and been encouraged by bright thinkers who will eventually tear down the bullshit democracy that's being, and theocracy, and uber culture that's emanating from the United States, replace it with a compassionate, new, and inclusive government, because they're doing that in their own communities already. And we never did, my generation. We never did that. But the young generation is already doing that. They're going to demand it of the world they come to control.
Kate, thanks very much.